The following audio is brought to you by PlanetChiropractic.com.
That Saturday, when I was busy like that, I had one of my patients count and they said, "Don, you got 17 people in your waiting room. I have a 750 square foot office." There were three people on the table and 17 just standing or sitting or leaning on a desk or whatever. Thought that's cool. I said, I like it. I told the patient, I like it like this.
You know what's cool about that is that you're not thinking about anything but how just these people.
Exactly.
He was going for it.
And you know.
And that's how one thing that you can tell, you can put this in your little interview there.
I'm recording this.
Oh, a little.
Watch your language.
That's all right.
Because when you, tell someone who sees high volume, because one of the problems that they have when they're seeing high volume is when you have to take a dump and there's nothing you can do about it. You got to hold that dump because you have people in the waiting room, you have all the tables filled, you have new patients in there, and you just got to keep moving, and you're just going, oh my god.
Well, knowing you let it out a little at a time, you gas you score.
They wait for those breaks in the dark rooms and you let them loose and then keep ripping.
But you are focused. You are ultra focused, and you have to be ultra focused when you're high volume. The more patients that are out there, the more focused you got to be, because the patient that you're adjusting knows it, and they're going to get a better adjustment.
Dr. Don, you've been in practice about how long?
December of '89 is when I graduated, so I've been around for 17 years, I guess.
17 years?
17 years, yeah.
Wow. And then, you're still excited about what you do?
Yeah, because you're always evolving, you're always changing, you're always fine-tuning. You have to.
You're a better chiropractor today than you were 17 years ago?
Yeah, because I see you, and I see Rob, and I see how good you guys are, and it's like, hey, I gotta be like them. I gotta be good. You guys hold me accountable just by your excellence.
I had read somewhere that some guy that's probably not too positive about chiropractic said the reason chiropractors are failing is because they're sticking to the subluxation model, and that they're going to fail in that model.
That's what's going to keep us, because you have physical therapists that are getting their doctorates now because they want to be primary care portals right there. To receive those patients right out of the society. So you have that, you have all these sports trainers, and they're all in the same boat, and they're all out saying the same things,
yeah.
But they know nothing about subluxation, so the devastating effects subluxation can have on interfering in the life flow from the brain to the
body. You know what's interesting about those guys too, Rob? Think about it. They don't know subluxation. They think it's limiting when it's not limiting. It's just the opposite. I think treating people with low back pain and neck pain is limiting, because you won't see the pregnant woman, you won't see the little kid. Anyone with a spine, you won't see a dog, a cat, a bird. Anyone with a spine gets subluxated, and they need to have it corrected, because something else will go wrong down the road, 5-10 years down the road. Then they think they need care from a medical doctor or a chiropractor or whatever, because our medical model says right now that, hey, wait till something goes wrong before you fix it, which is crazy. That's why it's failing.
That's not going to be a problem. It's an advantage. You can stay with that and stay with the idea that the big idea of intelligence is going to heal the body. That's huge when it comes to practices and survival of chiropractic.
If it's working right, it's gonna heal.
So somebody in our area, let's take Los Angeles. Let's say they're not doing well in practice. They're not having consistent new patients. They're not consistently seeing volume. What would you think that they could be doing wrong?
Wrong mindset.
It comes all basically that most of them are totally off purpose. There's that they're usually they're not thinking going out and serving people.
Right, that's
the number one thing. They always get stuck on, oh, well.
What's in it for me?
It's like I talked to these guys, this other chiropractor.
That's what is good now.
This guy has brought by other chiropractors to the office, and they always say the same thing. Well, how much, let's see, what are you doing for workers' comp? What are you doing for PIs? How much are you getting for this? And then it always comes down to, I say, it's just a matter of get the people in the door, and if you do the volume, you know, you're going to get taken care of. Don't worry about it. Just correct subluxations, and you're going to be taken care of.
Do you guys find that there's some kind of inverse, whereas the more focused you are, the more people you see?
Oh, yeah.
And on the same level, as the less focused you are, the less people you see?
Totally has to do with the
intent. Yeah. You're right, the less focused, because I've been thinking about when you're not focused, you're like, oh, you got to go somewhere after practice, or something's wrong with the family. The volume just drops right off, and you know it. You just go, it's my fault. I always say that.
It's easy to do that, because like tonight, I told the girls, I said, okay, no day twos in the evening, I got to get out of here early. And in my mind, I knew that that was the case, and as far as that, for example, usually in the afternoon, we've been seeing right around 100, and we saw 85 in the afternoon, so it's all died right at the end, where we'd normally see those last 15 people, and no one came in.
That's interesting, because earlier in the day, I had that thought where I was going to tell staff and said, okay, I'm going to leave the office early, you know, therefore I don't want people coming in. And before I said anything, I thought, well, I don't want to say that because I'll get that.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, what I want is I want people coming in right up till the moment I have to leave so that I can just adjust everybody and walk out the door. And what happened with me was I was putting my keys down and people were still coming in. I adjusted them, and then my CA closed up the office and called me. You know, I was already at your office when she called me to forward the phone for the night.
Yeah.
So I find that very much so, that if your intent is on, you know, like going out, you're going to get exactly that. People will stop coming in.
They're already gone.
Total attention, man.
They're already gone. Now, do you guys find that that happens on a daily basis?
No. I mean, it could if you let it, but you got to discipline your mind.
Okay, and so what do you do to discipline your mind on a regular basis?
Well, you're doing
the affirmations that Dr. Fred gives are very,
and you,
very arrow.
And I like to, you just got to be disciplined, like Don's saying, as far as to catch yourself when you have that negative thought.
Cancel it.
Yeah, cancel it, and then start focusing and talking the way you talk in the office to your patients, too.
Okay, so you both experience that, whereas if you have a negative thought, it affects the flow of your office? Because there's some people that would say that's nonsense.
Yeah, I know. That's probably those people that are seeing 20 a day, too.
What?
Okay. Now, Dr. Rob, you start at what time?
7 a.m.
7 a.m.? And you break for lunch at?
When we're finished. So just depends. Just now it's end at 10. We usually finish up at 10:30. See, report of findings after that. So I usually get out about 11, sometimes 11:30. Depending on how many new patients.
Okay, and then do you mind saying on an average how many new patients would come in a week?
Right now, we're at 18.2 a week right now. 6 week average.
6 week average.
It's like last week we had 22.
And so you basically take the amount of patients coming in over 6 weeks and you divide that.
Yeah.
Into your average.
Yeah.
How long does a report of findings last?
5 minutes
So about a 5 minute report of findings?
Well, we schedule 15. So it could be just a couple minutes to 15 minutes just on the person.
What kind of things you go over?
I it up by, I talk about, first thing, they read a pamphlet about, are you normal, and it just talks about structure and function in the nervous system. And then I go over, then I pull out effects, as far as showing the effects of the nervous system on the organs and the symptoms. And then I explain how the nervous system controls all functions of the body. And then I say it's dependent on the structure. If your structure's off, then I use for back talk this other pamphlet that I'll go over, and it just shows x-rays of normal to the phases of degeneration. And basically I go over how the function is going to be off, and if your structure is off, it's going to disturb the function, and it'll disrupt the vital life messages going from the brain to the vital organs. And another thing that could happen is that the joints can rub and grind down without you knowing about it. That's sets you in a form of a progressive form of arthritis. And then I go over and tell them three key things about what they're going to look for in their x-rays to see if, how healthy their spine is. And then there's three things that are on that sheet that I go over. One of them's normal curves. The other one is equal disc spacing. The other one is any signs of degeneration. If they have any of that, then they know it because I've showed them that. And whenever I flip that x-ray up right after that, they usually go, well, I'm in a phase, and they tell me what phase they're in. And then
so you educate them beforehand. You get them to yeah. know what...
They got to know what they're looking at.
Before they even look at it.
And then when they know that what they're looking at, then they know their spine is not structurally right, which means the function's going to be off. And then they start, when you bring up these other areas, because it's real important during the consult, I think that you bring up that, during the consultation, that you bring up, you set it up, because they're going to have an idea from the consultation, like, okay, you came in with neck pain, well, your neck is connected to in that area of neck pain. Okay. Well, when the spine is out of alignment, one of the most common causes of the symptoms right there is the subluxation in the neck. And also what can happen is that when you have subluxation in those areas, it can interfere with messages coming from the brain, carrying the vital messages to the organs. And for example, it can affect the shoulders, the arm, go down the arm, and some of those nerves that come out, they feed the heart. And then I'll mention anything. Do you suffer from headaches, or do you suffer from... And I'll mention other symptoms about that along the line. And I'll say, recently in the past, have you suffered from any of those? And then a lot of times you're going to dig up chronicity that way. And that's the thing that I've changed that's been really effective in connecting it. Then when we get into the report of findings, they already have an idea about that, and they hear it again, and they see their structures off, and most of them, when I get to that point, they're just ready to go under care. They're like, I gotta, that's it, and they are ready to do it. And it's just a matter of working out the finances.
What do you guys do to like recharge?
Work out, ride my bike.
Rest, work out. Every day, work out, stretch, read. And
read. And
take a little nap.
Yeah. Naps are good.
Dr. Don, do you nap every day?
Yes, I do.
Dr. Rob, do you nap every day?
Yes.
So you guys, between the shifts, you make sure you get a nap every day?
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, because you recharge now.
Okay. Dr. Don, you practice about how many hours a week?
26, 27.
26, so it's about 26, 27 hours of adjusting.
Yeah.
And you, Dr. Rob? So we got 7 to about 10 in the morning. So that's 3 hours, and that's 3 days a week?
Double 10, let's see, that's 18, 19, 23, 4, 5, about 25, 26.
25, 26. So it's interesting because just out of the three of us, I practiced 29. Dr. Don, you practiced about 27. Yeah. And you practiced 26. And who, which of us sees the most volume?
26.
So would you guys suggest if you want to see more people that you should work more hours?
No, because it dilutes your intensity.
It dilutes your intensity?
Yeah. Right? Don't you think, bro? Yeah. I think
you just need to cover your peak demand times. So a peak demand time for me is I'm going to see the most from 7 to before 7 to 8 and from about 9 till 10:30 is going to be the big time.
Your peak demand times?
And then the other one would be 3 to 4 and then from 5 till 6:30.
How do you guys discover what your peak demand times are?
You're tracking them.
You keep track of it?
Yeah, hourly.
And have you adjusted your hours over the years to accommodate that?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So when you're first getting started, how would you suggest to... what kind of hours would you keep?
I'd cluster book, and I would keep those. I'd go, it's the same thing, I'd just go 7 to 10 and from 3 to...
Think of when people go to work.
Yeah.
And if you work in an area where a lot of people go to work at night, maybe you'll be 1 to 3. I mean, figure out what's going on in your area and then fine-tune the hours so make it convenient for people. They'll come when you show up. And just the nice thing about having shorter hours is, and Rob thinks my morning is a long morning, 7:30 to noon. Right, Rob? The intensity. It keeps your intensity up. I found that I get a lot of people before lunch, before noon hour. They're at their lunch. They get a lunch break.
And your shifts, Dr. Don, are busier in the morning than the afternoon typically?
Yeah.
And Dr. Rob, how about you?
Usually, well, today, we saw 84 in the morning and 85 in the afternoon, so it was
equal.
And then the other day it's almost split. So usually it's a little bit busier in the afternoon.
Are you more of I'm more of a morning person. Are you more of an afternoon?
And Dr. Rob, you're in until what time in the afternoon?
6:30.
And then you do reports after that?
Yeah.
So you have a morning time for reports and an afternoon time for reports?
Yeah.
And those are both after non-adjusting hours?
Yeah, outside, yeah.
Okay. How about re-x-rays? What time would you do those?
Right during the adjusting hours.
Okay. Yeah. And do you have any other doctors in your office?
No,
so you're a solo doc?
Yeah, yes.
And you saw how many this morning?
This morning?
Uh-huh.
Oh, 84.
And then in the afternoon?
85.
How many CAs?
Two part-time. Yeah.
Okay, so do they both come in and work those shifts?
Yeah.
You have two people there at all times?
Yes.
Okay.
So, for example, last Monday, we saw 200. And we saw 100. We had a busier morning, so we saw 108 in the morning. In the afternoon, we ended up seeing 6 new ones in the afternoon with that. So that was better. So that was all with just myself and the 2 CAs.
What are your thoughts on, I know you've both been in practice for a while, but a new doctor just starting out, do you think that they should work in somebody else's office, or would they be better off opening up on their own?
It depends on the person. Some people are just self-starters. It depends on what they do beforehand, too. Do they go and take training, like go to Schofield or some other company that gets them geared up toward opening? Some people are just not meant to have their own practice, and that's okay too. So it all depends on the individual, but just starting out, I know, you know, you want to have lowest overhead as you can. So even if you rent space from a dock or get like a percentage split, that's what I did. I got a percentage split, which was fine because I didn't have to pay anything until I got paid.
Okay, so you gave a percentage to the doctor that your office you were in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So when I started, I just went ahead and rented space for a few months and then just opened up. So I worked in a PI clinic for a couple months at the same time, but I couldn't handle that anymore. And so I went ahead and my biggest obstacle was just getting a loan because I didn't have any security for my loan. So I had to go get laughed out of a bunch of banks until finally one person backed me, and then I opened up my office. And then made a lot of mistakes.
You made a lot of mistakes in practice?
Oh, yeah.
Over the years?
Oh, yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with making mistakes?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to make mistakes or you're not going to improve, so otherwise you just sit there and do nothing.
Do you still make mistakes today?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Dr. Rob, you've been in practice how long?
19 years.
19 years now?
Yeah.
And you went to what school?
Went to Cleveland Chiropractic.
And Dr. Don, you're a graduate of?
Unfortunately, LACC, which is Medipractors.
Do you guys think that the school you attend makes a difference in how you're going to perform in practice?
Yes. Yes, it gives you, at least early on, because that's all you know. And like me, I never felt like when I was doing physical therapy along with my adjustments, or manipulations as they called them, I never felt like I was doing what I'm supposed to do. So I went to Parker, you know, and I listened to Sigurd Foos, and I listened to some of the straight chiropractors talk to people. And they were having some fun. Tim Stackus, what a great guy, mentor he is. And just started slowly changing. And then one day I just said, you know what? Every new patient is going to be different. Every new patient, I'm going to be different than my old stuff. So I didn't do, you know, I talked to them differently. Because the others were used to, oh, it hurts here, hurts there, you know, all that bullshit. But the new patients, I said, okay, this is what chiropractic is. You know, I gave them what Rob was saying about the life force and about the brain and the body talking and the subluxation interfering with that. So you could change your practice tomorrow. Every new patient that comes in, boom, that's how you change it if you want to change your practice. If they don't know anymore, I mean, they don't know any better. They don't know any better.
Yeah, I think the schools definitely, the schools are definitely, if they would, like for example, if someone's going to LACC right now, they're not going to get any type of philosophy. So they're going to...
Well, they will get some medical philosophy.
That's it. But so then they may not get turned on. It's just going to delay. It's going to handicap their progress of being a chiropractor. So I think in that case, it can make a big difference.